You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast you are currently listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might know me as a stand-up comedian who decided to write about Magic the Gathering and now has a column over on edhrec.com. Am I the Bull? This is my column. Used to be on Commander's Herald. Shout out Commander's Herald. Now it's on EDHREC. Shout out EDHREC. Normally, I have my co-host with me, who is also an editor over at EDHREC and a overall super genius and fun producer, co-host, everything. Morgan Sanchez, not here today, busy with plans that unfortunately we can't shift away the week. We can't figure it out. So I am bookending this episode, and we are going to be talking to a dear pal who calls in shortly. Before we get to that, I do want to talk about a couple of things. Obviously, we got to start by saying Cardsphere.com is a proud sponsor of Am I the Bullcast. Here at the Bullcast, we love Cardsphere.com. There's a referral link in the description. Don't forget to click that. Join Cardsphere.com. That said, if you've been listening to us for this long and you haven't signed up for Cardsphere, what are you doing? Sign up for Cardsphere. Put your cards up for trade. Send them away. Get some back. Get some cards. Cardsphere. Get your cards here, baby. I don't have any Cardsphere stories right now. I'm waiting for Edge of Eternities to hit the shelves before I put in another order. I'm also going to be away for 3 weeks shortly, so I got to figure out a bunch of different stuff that isn't Magic cards for a little bit. I'm going to be in the West Coast, going down to Vancouver, BC, staying with my girlfriend's family and kind of test driving what life can be like out there. So won't be putting any Cardsphere orders out or in for a little bit, but I encourage you all to please pick up the slack, get some cards in, get some cards out, have some fun with it, peep it all. I think by then you'll see Edge of Eternity stuff on there, and I'm probably going to put in an order in my last week in Vancouver, hoping stuff comes in while I'm away. Very excited about going down to Vancouver. Shout out to Cole from Heroes Blade Vibe Check. I'm looking forward to some games with that sweet, sweet angel. Gang, I also got to talk about BoneBoxGames.com. They still got a promo code over there for Bullcast. Bullcast and the discount promo. You can get yourself a little bit of a discount percentage off of your orders over at BoneBoxGames.com. They make some of my favorite deck boxes. I've been rocking the Tarot. I've been rocking the Decay. Decay is home to Genova, and the Tarot is home to Lazavwer Faces. And I am dismantling my clone deck at the moment that was in my porcelain deck box. So now I'm trying to figure out which deck is deserving of such a huge and comfy, cozy deck box that matches the vibe. And I still haven't found the perfect deck for the freshly baked deck box, which is a crime because it's such a fun deck box. And I recommend it. Go ahead, get yourself a freshly baked Decay, Tarot, Porcelain, even the OG. Get them. Get yourself a quality deck box that you're going to gift to your favorite of decks. So go ahead, BoneBoxGames.com. Before we move on to anything else, I do want to talk about another thing. Oh, but Mike, you might be saying, if you're that one guy who says it's all ads for a little while, shut up. I'm talking to myself in a room, okay? I want you to know that this time around, it's just me. But I do want to start by saying, like, I appreciate you listening. I love that you keep coming back. We have a nice, loyal fan base that listens to the podcast, and that rules. It's the best feeling to know that there are people listening. I know, because you reach out, you write in. It's awesome. Continue to write in. amithebullis@gmail.com and at amithebullcast on Blue Sky. Now, the thing is, you come to me because clearly you come to us. We are a team. It's Morgan and I. You come to us because we have great guests. We do a mailbag. We have a lot of fun. I talk a lot. Hopefully I'm funny. And, you know, this is a fun magic podcast. And I hope that you guys enjoy that. But I also hope that you come to me because you trust me to recommend things that are good for you and to have some insights on the game and its social nature. You come to me, hopefully you trust me for some stuff. And I'll say this, if you have not yet backed the Restless Kickstarter on Kickstarter.com, a game designed in its entirety by Winslow Domain, I don't know what else I can do for you. If you're listening to this, you're pretty deep on the on the ladder of podcasts out there. You know, if you've made it to us, chances are you play Magic a lot. You think about Magic a lot. You need to listen to stuff about Magic a lot. I rarely venture out into other games unless it's board game night, and I often will find myself goldfishing decks in Magic all the time. Something I've been doing a lot more lately since receiving a promo copy of Winslow's game is I've been playing it on my own. Now, the game is meant for 2 to 4 people. It's a dungeon crawler game. It's meant to be like a 3-hour experience. It's complicated. There's a lot of really interesting paths in this game where you descend through 5 realms to fight a massive, like huge god, like this primal god that you have to defeat. And it's been so cool to explore all the cards. Winslow is an artist that I love and respect. He's somebody that I've known as a comedian for more than 10 years at this point. And over the years, he's shown me this game. I've checked over some stuff. I play test a little bit. I watched him work on the art for the game all by hand. It's all hand drawn with pen. And it's such a labor of love and intensity and frankly, brutality. There's even a soundtrack that goes along with the game that's got like symphonic elements that feels like symphonic metal in the sense that it's like, yes, it's not like metal, but it's got like the chamber stuff. It's got chains. It's an experience. And I value the idea of like stepping away from Magic for a moment to kind of reset how you've conditioned your brain to be playing the game. Like I love Magic, but I find myself playing the same play style. And then I wonder if that's just something I like to do or if it's something that I want to do in Magic because it's what I know best. And then you sort of find yourself in a way trying to be like, can I map that to this other game? You know, is that what do I enjoy in other games? And maybe I can work through that. And I've been having a really nice time exploring how detailed and engrossing this game is. So I've asked Winslow to come do an episode of the podcast with me. I think Winslow and I are going to talk about his game exclusively because he doesn't play Magic. He's a funny guy, so I hope you guys like that. But we're not going to talk about Magic for an episode. It'll be dropped as a bonus episode to plug his game and his Kickstarter. I really hope that it gets funded. I hope you get your hands on it. I hope you play it with a bunch of friends. 2 to 4 players. It's a collaborative dungeon crawler. It's a great time. But again, that doesn't stop you from playing it on your own, which I've been doing a lot. And I'm looking forward to the next time I get to have a board game night with some friends, which unfortunately won't be for a little while because of my upcoming plans and Just for Laughs festival, in which I'm performing in Montreal. If you're in Montreal, the week this comes out, this week, this Friday, when this drops on July 18th, I'll be at Theatre St. Catherine for the Best of the Fest and also for the Montreal series. Then July 23rd, I'll be opening for Ivan Decker at Place des Arts, and hopefully I'll be getting a couple spots here and there throughout the festival as well. I'll also be at the Comedy Nest at the end of the month, hosting for Courtney Gilmore, who you should come see if you're in Montreal. So that's a little bit of a plug section. When I'm in BC, I've also got shows in Vancouver, but most of my time is going to be feeling out how I like the area. And when I come back, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a board game night, and we're going to have a proper time with the Restless. So if you ever want to play The Restless, I'm pretty sure we can make that happen. Okay, so I've talked a lot off the top. I'm going to keep talking later because we have a phone call coming. And the phone call I'm expecting from a friend in a couple seconds here is from Lua Stardust, who you might know from the Commander Advisory Panel, formerly known as the CAG, but now a group of content creators and Magic personalities are involved with advising Wizards with the Commander format. You might know Lua as a competitive EDH player. You might know her as one half of the Scrybabies. You might know her from many of her other projects. We're going to put in a phone ringing now. It's going to be a sound effect. There it is. And we're going to get a phone call with Lua Stardust. And I'm happy with the way this turned out. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy it. okay, it's time to talk to our guest today. We've got a good one. Every time we got one, it's a good one. But I'll tell you what, really excited about this one. You might know her from Scry Babies, but I know her as a friend, a pal, a sweet angel in the Magic the Gathering community. Lua Stardust joins us today. Hi, Lua.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, my good buddy, pal, friend. See how I did that?
Buddy. Yeah, I heard you. It's fun. How you doing, buddy? It's been a minute.
I think the last time we saw each other was at MagicCon. Just like at a good old lobby con.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been good. It's been really busy. We're about to, well, I don't know when this comes out, but we are about to see each other at MagicCon again. Are you in Vegas?
Traveling sucks right now to the States, and it's not something that I want to mess with at the moment.
That is super fair.
There's a new, actually, as of this week, there's like a new law in effect that says that they could check a lot more than just your phone at the border. And it's just like, you know what? Why does my privacy need invading?
You know, that's very fair. That's why I have not left the country. And it's not a great way to start off this, so we can change this subject.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in Vegas, but I was supposed to be. I pulled out, but I'm very excited. Look at all the folks that are going to be there. You're going with Tori's Scry Babies time, or are you guys doing an event?
Yeah, I'm a featured guest for the Commander Format panel, which is something that I'm a part of. And then Scry Babies has a bunch of events as well. So we have Scry Babies Live, which is going to be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Some meet and greets, CDH, a lot of things. I'm very booked and busy, which is always good.
That's how you want to be, especially at these cons. Mm-hmm. I mean, last time we saw each other was at a Magic Con, and I finally got to play CDH. I ended up in a pod with the gals from Girl Pod.
Mm-hmm. So sweet.
Immediately, because this was right after talking to Ian about Plagon for like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And I was like, finally going to play some Plagon because I can't build it in a way that's casual enough for my taste level.
Right.
And I really went for it. Kept a hand I thought was good, but didn't read cards well enough. It was awful. I sucked so bad. But I got off a Force of Will, which is something I'd never done before. Never played a Force of Will before. So a couple of firsts in that CDH event. And I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, I think sucking is like the first step of being good at something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you got to fail in order to succeed. And I know that sounds so like, like cringe almost. But I don't know. I never was successful perfectly at something right away. Oh, yeah. Right. Like I'm still not great at CDH, but I enjoy it. And so
yeah, you have some fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it a lot.
What's something you're jamming these days? If you had to pick like a commander that's got your heart these days, what are you on?
Oh man.
In general, it doesn't have to be CDH. In general,
I'm loving the Mendicant Core Guide Light from Aetherdrift. My little robot baby.
Yes.
Which says a lot because I didn't like that set, but I really like that card. Also, everything from Final Fantasy. I have like six decks going on, man. That's
already
so good.
Yep. Yo, what's caught your eye in Final Fantasy?
So I played the Cloud Precon deck and it's nuts. Like it's so good.
Really?
I really like that one a lot. The Kefka is really fun. So I've been enjoying
which
Kefka.
Which one? The Grixis?
The Grixis one, it's very good for CDH, I think. Played it with one of our games and it was crazy. And then we lost the two games we had recorded, so we filmed another one and we were ganging up on Steve who was playing it. Everybody's like, why are you ganging up on Steve? We're like, you need to see what happened to us the past 2 hours of bullshit from this deck. So yes, we were ganging up on Steve. And there's a lot of good casual stuff and I enjoy Final Fantasy. I'm not like the biggest fan, but it's made me want to play the rest of them, which is pretty cool.
That's the success of Universes Beyond, is that it's doing what it's intended to do, which is like cross-pollinate the fandoms. Mm-hmm. And it's worked on me. Like I've spent an entire lifetime avoiding Final Fantasy. And I use the word avoiding intentionally because like I just didn't care. It was shown to me and it didn't click. And then every time somebody was like, it's fine. What, you don't like Final Fantasy? I was like, it never clicked for me and I'm not going to go for it. I'm not going to spend the money to play it. There's so much. And then the set comes out and I'm like, well, now I need to know what this Genova character is all about because what the heck is this thing?
Yeah.
Why is this what I'm playing green all of a sudden? And it's going to be for Final Fantasy Legend. Come on now.
I think that's what's interesting. It's like, I like free UB stuff when they make things for the person who does not want to play the UB stuff, right? Like the designs for it. Mm-hmm. But I also, I don't know, I like the aspect of like being able to get into a fandom because you are playing this card game, or mm-hmm. being such a big fan of something that you get into Magic. Like, I don't know, there's of more course. Benefits than negatives, I think. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I will say, like, Magic used to be the only fantasy content I consumed, in that I read the stories and that was it. I wasn't like a huge lore boy, but I got into it and that was my stuff. Like, but I think they're striking a decent balance. Like the Duskborn story was so good. Either Drift was still fun, but it wasn't my favorite either, but it was still mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
I love a lot of the stuff in the set. I mentioned Genova. I like Zidane. Mm-hmm. The uncommon Boros commander. Lots of really fun stuff.
That's
in here.
Tori's fave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tori's pride and joy is that game. So when she got a chance to play it as a commander, she was like, oh, well, for the show, for example, like we film so many decks that we only play them twice ever on the channel. And then we right. have to change it up because then people yeah, get bored of seeing the same deck. Right. So a lot of the times we don't keep those decks together, and I usually keep like three decks together throughout the year. I usually have my one all-star that like goes into the next year with me, but maybe one or two that stay. And for her, she was like, oh, I'm keeping this deck together. And yeah. she's excited to like bling it out, which is really sweet.
I really wish I could have that kind of discipline. I'll tell you what, because I'm sitting mm-hmm. on, I brought my collection down from 40 to 20 decks. Mm-hmm. And now I'm slowly creeping back up to like 25.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
A lot of fun.
And we still have like four sets that are coming out this year. So
this year, Edge of Eternity, Spider-Man.
Yeah, because we have Edge of Eternities, Avatar.
Avatar's a not... set? I thought it was just going to be like a secret lair SpongeBob thing.
No, is I it think really it's a full set. I think it's a
oh
set.
Oh my God.
I think that's it. Maybe three instead of four, but there's at least those.
I'm looking it up. I gotta know. I gotta know what's coming. Whew. Marvel's Spider-Man Universe Beyond set Q3 in September, mm-hmm. I think. And then we're getting Edge of Eternities in August after just getting a set in June.
And then right after is going to be Spider-Man. Like, they're so close.
Oh my God. It's a tentpole set.
And then Avatar.
Tentpole set for Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Of the three coming up, which one is you? Do you have like big eyes for?
Oh, this is so hard. So I'm excited for Edge of Eternities because I love space and space operas. I'm like,
okay,
for the actual Magic set of the year, like this is the actual themed one that I was the most excited for.
Same.
Yeah, because like Aether Drift was fine. What else? Tarkir was cool. I was never a Tarkir person. I never. Mm-hmm. My husband loves it, so he was really excited about it. But you know, it was a beautiful set, but like for me, I've been looking forward to Edge of Eternity since they talked about it.
Agreed.
Like, you know, at the Gen Con. But I think Spider-Man for me, I was like, so I'm real nerdy.
Hell
and
yeah.
In high school, my entire bedroom was Spider-Man themed. Like I'm 17 years old with a kid's Spider-Man bed set and like my room's all painted rainbow, and then there's like Spider-Man decals on the wall, like nerdy nice. As hell. Not even fun. Cool. I was not cool at all. And so I'm literally going to write Wizards and be like, if you have a black card, like Black Cat card, please let me preview it. Like she's my favorite. Like I love and breathe Spider-Man. I'm hoping we get like a, I guess it's like Sony property. It's still Marvel, but I don't know what properties between that and Sony they
it's
have.
Hard to tell.
I would love an Into the Spider-Verse, like Secret Lair, something beautiful.
Know.
So, I'm most excited for that. But Avatar is cool, too. So I'm not hating on any of this. Final Fantasy just blew my mind. So I think anything else is going to be hard to be like the set of the year. But we'll see.
I will say I know nothing about Avatar. I've seen a couple episodes early on and that's it. But I've never known Avatar. I'm just similarly to Final Fantasy where I'm like, I'll watch out for some designs. Cool. We'll see what comes up. Like really jazzed about Genova. That's pretty sick. Like Sephiroth, lots of cool tech in here, but Avatar is probably going to be an offering of the same for me. I didn't realize you were such a Spider-Man fan. Cause like, I was never like huge into Spider-Man himself, but I love the villains in Spider-Man. And
oh,
I'm looking forward
so
to
good.
That. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, before I did like my I started doing a lot of Magic content and like TCG stuff during the pandemic. Pre-pandemic, I was very involved with comics. Like I did a lot of stuff for Image Comics and for Archie Comics and like content based around that. That was kind of my job. So I like a lot of independent publishers more than I like classic Marvel and DC. But for Marvel, it was always X-Men and Spider-Man for me. Like that was my jam. So I'm very excited. We got the X-Men Secret Lairs. You know what I mean? I guess it was just a Marvel But we basically got X-Men because we got Wolverine and Storm, right? So
right. Who were the other ones? Iron Man and Iron then there Man, was...
Black Panther.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean...
I'm interested to see if we get more because I feel like that's such a jump to then go to Spider-Man and not like more of an extended Marvel set.
I would love that. But we'll see. I mean, we did get Deadpool too, and that was really fun. Like Deadpool's a great card. Awesome.
Yeah. Really good card design. Yeah, that's awesome.
So sick. So really, really well thought out. And then also a rules nightmare, which of course Deadpool would be.
CDH loves it.
Oh, Deadpool's popping off at CDH? That makes sense. I'm not, you know, I don't know why I'm surprised. I said it all surprised. I'm not surprised.
The more complicated the text is for a judge, usually that means CDH.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I think I will say that Spider-Man, God love you, but man, I just need Sandman. I need to know what Sandman's going to be. Is he going to be basically like a Gave Guru of Spores reskin? You know what I mean? That's kind of what I'm expecting.
I know. So the art that they got put out already, I think it was like we got the Green Goblin. Did we get Venom or Carnage? You know,
we got Venom and the Green Goblin. We got Doc Ock and Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. We did get Doc Ock. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Which a lot of people are like, why doesn't he cost eight? And I'm like, don't ask for it to be more. It's seven mana. He's an 8/8. You win where you win. You know, he makes non-creature artifacts 8/8. Don't make it more expensive. Come on. It's enough. We're good. Anyway. I'll say as excited I am about these sets, I am loving the Final Fantasy designs. I'm pretty stoked with it. But that's not all we're here to talk about on the show. We do have to discuss the bolus of it all. It's the Am I the Bull cast. We're here to talk about your pet peeve or a story where you may be the villain. But before we dive in, just give everybody a little spiel of where they can find you, what you want them checking out, and then we'll get into what you've brought to the show today.
Yeah. So again, my name's Lewis Stardust. You can go to lewisstardust.com to find all of my social media and information. I am one half of a channel called Scrybabies, where we do gameplay for EDH and CDH content. And then I also have a channel called Dice and Daydreams, which is all TTRPG stuff, featuring comedian MTG and Anna Margaret, who are also Magic players. So that's kind of what I do on the internet on top of my just individual original content.
Hell yeah. So lewisstardust.com for all Lewis Stardust needs. And Lua, as part of the Bullcast, on this Bullcast episode, here today, chatting with me, what you got for me? A pet peeve? Do you have a story?
Okay. So I asked my husband this morning, I was like, I have to come up with a time when I was the bolus. And he was like, you don't have anything? And I was like, no, I don't have anything. I don't think about this. He brought up, we recently did a CDH tournament in, I think, January. And Modfly Altars made me this beautiful soul ring of my engagement ring, and he gifted it to me. And so, like, literally before we got in the car, it came in the mail, and I was like, I'm putting this in my CDH deck, and I'm going to keep it there because, like, my CDH deck is Winota. That's how me and my husband met. So cute. So
that's a deck I know you most for also. Yeah. Like, yes, it makes sense to pop that in there. Yeah, 100%.
Perfect. I was like, it's perfect. So the first round in the tournament, I, like, get my opening, and it's, like, cracked and the soul rings in there. And so I go first. The guy in fourth seat has a gemstone caverns, and I play my soul ring, and he's looking like he's gonna counter it. And I'm like, oh my god, please don't counter it. Look, it's my engagement ring. And I'm sitting there like, isn't it so cute? I got this ring. And he's like, okay, fine. And he let me keep it. And then I was able to just, like, do so much with it. Ian said that was a pretty evil moment, but I think he just doesn't want to reveal that I'm only salty in Magic when I play against my husband. And so this is where I think I'm the villain, because he's just really good. Like, he's one of the top CDH players of all time. Yeah. Like, he's a very good player. And he does not play to win when we play games. However, I get mad that he doesn't let me win. I feel like I'm going to take on a domesticated role right now. I feel like as the woman, sometimes he should just let me win. You take out the trash, you do the manly task of the house. I think you should let me win. So when he doesn't let me win in, like, you know, he's really good at picking up games faster than me. I have a learning disability, so I'm already slow. And so when he doesn't let me win, I get so mad, and I'm definitely the villain at that point. I'm definitely the bolus at that point. Yeah, he said,
so we don't even have to comment on that one. That one's a bonus one for sure.
No, that one's for sure. And to clarify, like, he's like, make sure you let them know I'm not out here like pub stomping you, that I'm just a baby. But yeah, that's the one time I get salty playing any Magic. It's just only when my husband is like, or not even just Magic, but any game, when he's too good, and I'm like, damn, he's beating me.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll say this. My girlfriend's the exact opposite in that if she gets a whiff that I'm even a little bit letting her win, we will fight. So I can't let her win anything. And it's like, we'll play games that I'm like, look, I'm way more prepared for this kind of game because I play Magic like all the time. And this is like a strategy card board game that we're playing with friends. I know what I'm doing. And she's like, I swear to God, if you even look at me like you think you're going to let me have something that I shouldn't be having because you're not playing competitive, I will not talk to you for tonight. I can't do it.
See, and I am like that, like, especially because there's times where we get paired in a CDH tournament. I'm like, I'm going all in. Like, if you lose, you lose. This is what we're doing. We're here to play. But even at our house, like, yes, I want to play and be the best. And when I win, I'm for sure gloating about it. Like, I love that I do that. But when we're learning something and it's like three or four times and he just keeps beating me, I'm like, just like the fifth time, let me win, you know? So my confidence gets a little bit boosted. And then 6, 7, 8, you could win again. I'll take my one win and be thrilled about it.
I can understand where you're coming from for that. I think I think if you're playing, if you're not in a tournament setting, I'll be like, maybe I'll loosen it up a little bit. But again, if you were my girlfriend, I'd be like, oh my God, I'd be dead. You know, there's no way I could pull that off. So your story about the soul ring, though, that's, first of all, very fun. Very nice gift. Thank you. I love that. That's so sweet.
And very sweet of him.
I mean, am I... Ian bringing this up as the story that you should tell on the podcast is, it's very funny because that stood out to him as a potential bolus story. And I'm going to go ahead and say, nah, f*** that. Sorry, Ken. Oh, by the way, when you swear, you just got to apologize to Ken because he's going to bleep again.
But I don't know
if you swore or anything. I just forgot to say.
I'm from New Jersey. It's second nature. Just flows out me.
Yeah. East Coasters over here. We're just like saying, we're saying, sorry, Ken. Anyway, point is, I will say that in any other environment, I'd be like, come on, because you're popping off right after. But CDH tournament? Nah, dude, you got God. That's who cares? No bolus. You're, CDH is where all bets are off. You know what I mean? And it's, especially if it's a tournament, like, that's the other thing, is like, there's that recent controversy around the 11-hour game, which I didn't even read up about it. All I know is that people started being mean to Tim, and I'm not about that. The second you start being a dick to Gold Saber, I know you're wrong. Like, I don't care. There's no chance. But what a crazy, first of all bets are off. You got to do it. What are you doing? If you're not going to be like, please don't counter my soul ring.
Yeah. It's not like I lied and I no. did. I was, yeah, it's not like I was like, I'm not playing anything else. And then played like 12 cards. You know what I mean? But
it's like you're trying to keep it around. Like, that's the point. Yeah. You play the thing. Someone's about to counter it. That's politics. That's in the game. That's part of this. What do you think? Nah, I can't give you the bolus on that. There's no way. You tell Ian right after we're done. You give that. You tell that boy. No, you tell that SOB. There's no chance. I swear to God.
Wait, so are we saying
CDH?
So here's the thing. Is the bolus, like, is it the cheeky way? Like, I feel like the bolus is kind of cheeky. Or is it that you're the asshole? Or is, like, what is, how are we interpreting the bolus, right?
So I'm gonna give you this. The whole column that this is based on is literally just, am I the asshole, but Magic. So we picked who's the biggest asshole in Magic, and we picked bolus. You know?
Okay, good. I was like, because I feel like he's got like a little smirk, so he's a little cheeky, you know?
Oh, he can be, but he was definitely at that point in Magic, like when we were launching, he was still like the most recent big bad, aside from like we knew that the Praetors were coming back, but we didn't have Elish Dorne at the top. And really, the like, first of all, we could have picked Yawgmoth, then you have to explain why eugenics is bad to people who don't know why Yawgmoth is a bad character. And then you've got Urza, and you have to be like, well, no, there's sometimes where he did the good thing, but he's not a good person.
All right, Bolas feels right. Yeah, that's perfect.
Bolas is like, I'm definitely evil, but I have fun with it. Bolas, you know, and it's also way smaller. So it is like, am I the asshole, but Magic? And so like, are you the asshole? No, I can't give you that. Are you are you being a little scamp? Are you being like, who's one of Bolas's minions that's kind of cheeky? You know, I can't even tell. Are you the scarab god?
I love that for me. I'm going to go around and tell everybody that I'm not the Bolas.
Yeah, go ahead. I straight up, you know, is Ian home? You tell Ian. You tell that bad boy. You get the verdict immediately. Because that's a no for me. I can't get on board with that.
Perfect.
If somebody's like, don't counter my thing, and I let it happen, even though I'm over here like in a tournament, come on. I'm going to do the right play.
Someone's going to be listening like, Lua's schmoozing Mike over here, too powerful. And you know what?
Riz too strong. It. Yeah. it's crazy to me. Okay, so here's the thing, right? I don't play spiky much at all. Like, I'll play my decks. They're full of synergy. I build around an engine. I like to do the thing I like to do. And then if it's game over for me, it's game over for me. If I win, awesome. I'm not over here like anything for a win. Otherwise, my decks wouldn't be so stupid. But when it's time for a pre-release, I will get my pool together. And when it's time to play, I'm playing to win big time. I'm not going to hold back on a play that's going to suck for my opponent. But if somebody's like, oh, I didn't read this card right, can I take this back? I'll be like, absolutely. You know, it's a pre-release, of course. Mm-hmm. But where I get all my spike energy is at a pre-release. If I were to sit down at a CDH tournament, I would 100% not even think for a second and be like, counter that soul ring. There's just no way. Why wouldn't I? Anyway, I think, you know what? Ian's the Bolas for picking the story.
Yeah, take that, Ian.
What's he really saying? That's kind of funny. What you were on Winota? What was that player on? Do you remember?
No idea.
Mishmash of partners for sure, with a companion maybe. Who knows?
No idea. I think AC or something. It was something fringish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you don't hear a lot of AC in the command zone for. What a beater, though. That's a good one, though.
Yeah. Scary.
It is. I can't believe we got through that so quick. It was just such a clear not the Bolas for me. it's like there's not even a debate. The bookends on this one are going to be super fast, too. We're just going to be like, Mike said it all. Maybe Morgan will be like, I don't know, being nice to somebody and ask them, please. Manipulation. Maybe she won't like that. I don't care. It makes no sense. You're in a CDH tournament, buddy. You got to play to win. There's no feelings in CDH, I feel like.
I was very proud of that one, though.
Do you have a Magic pet peeve, like off the top of your head? Do you have anything that you're kind of like, ooh, this kind of gets my goat?
I think it's just the people that, for me, it's like people in casual who clearly have a winning board state that will try and act like they're not winning.
God, like, damn.
Yeah, like when when it's me, I'll be like, no, that's clearly somebody else. And I do a thing where I'm making like a little face, like I'm silly with it, right? Like,
you're being cheeky. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Or I will, when people go to target my stuff, I just don't say anything, because it's like when I'm like the imposter in Among Us, right? And somebody's like, it's got to be Lua, like it's Lua's fault. I'll just go real quiet until like the emergency meeting happens. So once they're ready to go all guns blazing in Commander, then I'll start like popping off about it. But when they're like, oh, Lua's got too many things on the board, we got to pop her doubling season, we got to do this, I'm just going to be like, yeah, no, that's fair. You can hit the things. That's super good. Please do. Because
oh yeah,
I don't really got, you know, anything in the race, like, yes, please hit my stuff. But when somebody's got a crazy board and they're like, yeah, but look at this guy, and he's got like two things on there, I'm like, no way.
You'll There's be like, no hold way. Up, hold up a second. You're telling yeah. us, like, yeah, I'm with you in the way that I do things too, where I'm like, if somebody comes at me like I'm the threat, and I am, I'll be like, ah, no, don't worry about it. What are you talking about? Yeah. We're all just having a fun time, you know?
Right.
Or I'll be like, I just got to play this for the first time. I've never seen this on the board before, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a pre-con we just opened that day. Nobody's ever seen any of these cards. But then also, especially among, I don't like the word untrusted players. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like that word. I need to find a better word that's not necessarily like strangers, you know, just like no connotation. But, you know, a pod full of people that I'm meeting for the first time, new friends. Mm-hmm. Nice. New friends work. So if I'm playing with new friends at an LGS or something and they're assessing the board and going, well, I'm looking to play this Druid of Purification and I don't know what to target, I'll be like, I'm trying not to say anything, but I will not take it badly if you target the things that you're thinking of targeting.
Right.
Because I'm aware of my position here, mm-hmm. you know? But if somebody's like, no, I'm going to target some of Mikey's stuff, I'll be like, why? I'm having a good time. What? Well, yeah, you know, the thing is, if I'm really not the target, I'll go like, okay, everybody else, ignore me. You don't have to worry about me anymore. Just coming at this guy. You know, you give him one of those.
Right.
But really, you don't adjust anything. You make the others feel a little too safe. And then you go, I lied. I was doing a bit. It's all politics. It's mind games. Maybe I do play CDH. Just
yeah, with bad I was gonna decks. Say you're starting to sound like a CDH player to me. Like, I don't know.
I talked to your husband for 2 hours the mm-hmm. last time we chatted, and I think that's what did it. He's the gab guy. He talks
Imagine
a lot.
Living with him, man. It just never stops. Not him talking. I just mean me. That sounded so bad. He does stop talking. However, he encourages me a lot to be a very good like social player instead of like a spiteful or angry player, you know.
100%. Do you find that to be the case for yourself? Do you find yourself to be like a bit more spiteful? And
no, I think like when I first started playing Magic, I wasn't used to like a TCG environment because I hadn't played it since I was in elementary school. So remember playing in elementary school with kids, but that was like, it's completely different, right?
Yeah.
So my first like few times playing, I would take it so personally when people would like blow up my stuff.
Oh,
and I'd
God.
Be like, oh my God, like, why are we targeting my things? Because there was other board states that were more advanced, but I didn't realize how these cards, like enchantments, could be such an engine for a long time. And so I would take things, like, I wouldn't get upset, like, with anybody, but I would, like, go cry. I'd be like, oh my God, they killed my Edgar Markov. I don't understand why they hate me. Because that was my introduction to Commander, was very high level casual play. And so when my stuff would, when my Smothering Tithe would get exploding, when somebody else had to carry the puzzle box out, like stuff like that, like I just didn't understand it because I had been introduced to such a high level of Commander. So
I mean, that's fair. My start in Magic was like seventh edition, like the seventh edition monocolored pre-con 60 card decks.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine and I got them, and I got the green one, which looking back feels wrong. And my buddy got the red one, and we would just go head to head with each other. And if it was just basically like, if he had a creature out turn one, I was done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if I had a creature out like on turn three, he would have enough to kill it with like lightning bolt or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always just be like, well, that sucks. You know, this kind of sucks until I found black and I was like, oh, okay, this game rules.
Yeah, lots. One's not a favorite matchup. It's really hard.
Oh, God. I mean, the thing is, do you, this is another question that I'm putting you on the spot for, I think, but do you remember like do you have like an example of a story where you're like, I think I leveled up here, an early one? Like, for example, mine was when I finally understood my favorite card of all time, Phyrexian Altar. I love Phyrexian Altar. Just the idea that you could cash in creatures for more than just board presence. Like vanilla creatures don't just have to be vanilla creatures. They could also be fodder to be sacrificed. And then, you know, you could use all that to build towards something. You know what I mean? Do you have a card in particular that you feel like I learned a lesson here that might be applicable?
Yeah, I mean, when I started playing Magic and building decks, I did a lot of stuff with like EDH Rec because that's like, to me, when you start, it feels so beginner friendly, and it still is, right? There's other resources that I use, but I would just put it off of EDH Rec into my deck. Sorry, editor.
Sorry, Ken.
But I would put stuff off of EDH Rec into my decks, not knowing what anything really did, and like that things would combo and become something else, right? So I remember when I first started, I had the Exquisite Blood combo in my deck, and I'm like, this is broken. It's the best combo of all time. And not realizing that there's so many other combos in Magic. Yeah. I think it's mostly just been like, there wasn't like a moment that switched for level up, but it was more so when my deck had synergies. And I would see the cards that I played work really well with each other. I just didn't know certain synergies existed in my deck. So probably like after my first year playing, I really started like realizing halfway into that first year, oh, there's so much that works together in 99 cards, right?
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Sorry, Ken. But
not any like specific eureka moment, but it was definitely a progressive change and seeing how things worked.
Hell yeah. Well, hell yeah, Lou, that's fun as hell. And I'm glad you could do the show. Is there anything that you want to plug before we...
I don't got much else to say. Thank you so much for having me. I always like talking about petty little stories and things that make us laugh. Yeah, just check out my content. Say hi if you see me at MagicCon or events, and subscribe to this podcast because it's pretty cool. Ooh, look at that, plugging your stuff. Crazy.
Oh yeah. Make sure you subscribe, get over here, and we're gonna talk on the other end of this chat. Thanks again, Lua. Lots of love. Have fun at MagicCon. Later, skater.
Thank you. Bye.
Once again, that was Lewis Stardust. Thank you so much for calling in and having a chat with me, buddy. I really appreciate you doing that. Shout out Scrybabies. Shout out Lewis. Shout out Ian. Shout out Tori. Shout out Steve. Shout out that whole crew. A bunch of sweetie pies just playing a really fun game and having a great time doing it. Honestly, I love the joy that they bring to the game. It's a lot of fun. Watch their channel. Lua is so stoked whenever new commanders come out. The fact that she had six Final Fantasy decks at the time of recording. When I don't even think full lists were out. I think we were still missing like a few more on the, from the set. Pretty bananas. Anyway, shout out to Lua. Thank you for calling in. Now it's time to talk about whether or not you're the bolus. Oh, gee, look at that. We already did. In the interview, I kind of just let it be known. We're going to talk about the fact that the Soul Ring story, the one that Ian suggested Lua bring to the game, not the bolus. Easy. You're at a competitive EDH tournament. If somebody plays a thing and it's something you should be countering and you decide not to counter it and they pop off, that is on you. It's competitive Magic. Part of it is it's politicking. You got to know that it's time to stop one of the most powerful cards in the entire game. Literally banned everywhere else, right? That's got to be it, right? Soul Ring is banned everywhere else, or at the very least restricted everywhere else except for Cube and Commander. I think it should be banned in Commander. It would make things a little bit more interesting, although a high CMC, high mana value Commander still benefit from it at the very least. But I'll say Soul Ring, super powerful. I don't care if it looks pretty. If it's going to kill me in this tournament where money's on the line and I need to win, I'm going to counter it. Except Lua made a play with the politicking and it worked. So not the bolus. It's competition. I get that pulling on someone's heartstrings a little bit is it feels manipulative in the sense of like, you know, you're batting your eyelashes at somebody and saying pretty please. But that's literally what it is. You are trying to manipulate them into letting you keep a thing that they have the power to stop. So, not the bolus. There we go. All right. So, before I let you guys go, and again, you are my hostages. Just a shout out to everybody sticking around, not because they want to stick around, but because they are they cannot leave. I did want to talk about the new cards from the Commander set and also a couple from the main set. And I think I think today is the day we got all of the pre-con stuff. So we got all the Jeskai deck today. Shout out to Commander at Home. And we got the Jund deck from the Command Zone yesterday at the time of recording. And there's some interesting stuff in here. But it does feel like the design wants to be narrow to fit the decks, but super sick and cool. Let's talk about Long Range Sensor, which is a 2 and a red artifact that says whenever you attack a player, put a charge counter on this artifact. 1 and remove 2 charge counters from this artifact. Discover 4, activate only as a sorcery. Yo, attack 2 players and you get enough to free roll a Discover 4. That's pretty sick. I don't know that it's particularly powerful, but it's pretty sick. I mean, if you've got a deck that just wants to swing, you'll get there pretty easy. Extra value. Very likely that you'll get, you know, a couple mana off a spell from the top of your library. You're basically getting to play it, like, not quote unquote for free, for 1 mana. And I just really like this card. The look of it is super, it's such a vibe. The space theme is cool. I expected this to feel more like a hat set, and it isn't. And I've been looking forward to this, and I really like it a lot. Another card that I feel interested in is Horizon Explorer, a green card. Shout out. I don't really like green, but I've now got 2 green decks that I've been playing more of. The Master Transcendent and Genova, Ancient Calamity. Horizon Explorer for 2 and a green, 2/4. Insect Scout. Lands you control enter untapped. That's pretty sick. Whenever you attack a player, create a lander token, and lander tokens are artifact tokens that say 2 and tap, sacrifice this token, search your library for a basic land card, put into the battlefield, tap, then shuffle. We've gotten to the point where Rampant Growth is a token. Rampant Growth is a token. Clue tokens, 2, sacrifice, draw a card. Okay. Treasure, tap, sacrifice, add a mana, Lotus Petal. Lander token is Rampant Growth. Rampant Growth on a token now. Whoo boy, I hope we see more of these tokens. I mean, I hope it means that people will be playing more basic lands. I think these can really start to, I don't know, I feel like there's something here that is shifting. You know, if these become popular, if they support this a little bit more, there's something there. You know what I mean? I'm rubbing my fingers together going, ooh, there's something here. You know what I mean? I think that's so interesting, and I hope I, you know, the it kind of sucks to build a deck and then go, okay, so this is like a $60 deck if I buy the cards now, but also, okay, land base, boy, okay, that's where it's all going. All my money is in the lands. And if you get to play with cards that make lander tokens and you put a bunch of basic lands in there, sure, you're just casting Rampant Growth over and over again, but hopefully it comes down early. I don't know. I like the idea of lander tokens. It feels very, maybe a little boomer magic optimism here for me, but I really like it. I think it's fun. Another card that's pretty cracked is Exploration Broodship, another green card. For green mana, you get an artifact spacecraft with station, which is tap another creature you control, put charge counters equal to its power onto the spacecraft, station only as a sorcery, and then it's an artifact creature at 8+. With 3 counters on it, It's exploration. Exploration, you may play an additional land on each of your turns. And then with 8 more, 8+, you get 4/4 flying. Once during each of your turns, you may cast a permanent spell from your graveyard by sacrificing a land in addition to paying its other costs. And I mean, there are so many Crucible Worlds effects out there now, in green, Ramunap Excavator, Ancient Greenwarden. You could pick your favorite. This is going to be great for a graveyard deck. I'm eyeing it for, the Master Transcendent, and I really hope it gets there. It feels like a really, really strong card, and I'm wondering if it has the juice. The cards that I'm most interested in the main set are probably the ones everybody's interested in, which of course are some legends that are kind of nuts. You know, we've got ourselves the, Sammy, Wildcat Captain, I want to say. I'm just looking for it in Scryfall as I talk about it. But Sammy is 6 mana creature. It's a 4 and a Boros, legendary human artificer rogue, 4/4 double strike vigilance, an absolute tank with an extra line of text that is bananas. Spells you cast have affinity for artifacts, not enchantment cards you cast. No artifacts you cast. No. Spells, all of them. Every single one has affinity for artifacts, which is sick. This card goes hard. No wonder it's 6 mana. It's an absolute beater. And if you've got, like, I don't know, 4 artifacts out, you're looking at just pips, unless you got more artifacts that need casting. I don't know. This card is bananas. This card is so sick. It's very powerful, but also definitely can't stay on the battlefield long. There's no way people are going to let this stick around. I'm also a big fan of the land cycle they've been doing, which is planets. So planets are lands that enter tapped. These ones are mono-colored planets. They, I guess we don't know if there are other planets that don't enter tapped. So I'm just going to say this cycle of mythic planets enter tapped, and they tap for one color of the color pie. So, you know, you got a white one, a blue one, black one, red one, green one. Adagia, Windswept Bastion has station, and at 12 plus counters for 3 white and tap, you get to create a token that's a copy of target artifact or enchantment you control, except it's legendary and you can only do this as a sorcery. This is pretty sick. I mean, think of what it means to just, like, make yourself like a Gilded Lotus token just to have around, and that's on the low end. Portal to Phyrexia is already, God, it's already so devastating once. How about we do it again? You know? What if you got a copy? Man, I can't even think of artifacts right now. I'm just so... What about enchantments? You know, you could copy any enchantment you have, and it's just legendary. Throw down an extra Smothering Tithe or Rhystic Study. It's just so sick. It's, again, these lands are nuts. I think red got screwed. Red did not get a fun one. But black is obviously my favorite, which is Susur Sekundi, Void Altar. Add black, obviously, and then at 12 plus counters, it's 1 black, tap, pay 2 life, sacrifice creature. Now, hold on. That's a lot on the front end. 1 black, tap, pay 2 life, sacrifice a creature. You get to draw cards equal to the sacrifice creature's power, activate only as a sorcery. You know I love the sacrifice. You know I like to draw cards. This Genova deck is already so bananas. What do I need to do more of this for? Because I need to draw my whole deck. I love sacrificing creatures for value. I'll do it just because sometimes. Sacrificing your creatures is one of my favorite things to do in Magic. Phyrexian Altar is my favorite card, period. And this is like half a Disciple of Bolas. You don't get the life gain, but you get one of the most underrated creatures on this activated ability. You know, it's like an Obnixilus emblem, the Planeswalker that came from Commander 2014, you know? It's so solid. Meanwhile, the green and the blue one are just riffs on old cards. You've got Talarian Academy and Gaia's Cradle on your lands now that are going to be more affordable than a Gaia's Cradle, that's for sure. I also want to shout out a really fun design, Ragos Deaf Gastronaut, for 2 mana, just a red and a white. You got a legendary creature, Lobster Citizen. He's a 2/2, and artifacts you control are foods in addition to their other types, and have 2 tap, sacrifice this artifact, you gain 3 life. So it gives them the food text. And then 1 and tap, sacrifice a food. Ragos does 3 damage to each opponent. At the beginning of each end step, if you gained life this turn, untap Raggedy Rag. Buddy. This is going to be such a popular commander. He's a lobster making food. He doesn't actually make foods, which is funny. He turns everything else into food, which is so gluttonous. And then it can really get nutty. You untap this thing, you sacrifice another food, you're dealing 3 damage apiece. Throw some lifelink on this bad boy. He's untapping every turn. As long as you have the resources, you can keep sacrificing artifacts you control that are foods just because they're artifacts. You got yourself an artifact land? That's food now. Ichor Wellspring? Food. Portal to Phyrexia? Food. You got food everywhere. Mycosynth Lattice is already such a pain in the ass, and it's going in every one of these decks. I have to imagine that this is going to be one of those decks that can veer combo and also just good times. And I'm thrilled about it. I'm happy with some of these designs. They're so goofy and fun. I've talked a lot. I have. I could keep going and talk about Terra Symbiosis or Ouroboroid. There's a lot of really cool cards coming out, and that's the joy of this game is there's so much happening in the design, and it's very inspiring. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's really nice to have this game and to enjoy it with so many people. I have a friend of mine who just started playing Magic. She's great. She's a pal who moved to Montreal not long ago, a friend of mine that I know from Toronto, from the comedy scene. And, you know, she works in games and she loves games. And I didn't want to push too hard on Magic because she already plays so many games, but a friend of hers did. And I'm grateful because she bought into the Final Fantasy precons, and we upgraded her decks and we played a couple games and we got more planned. And there's just like this new excitement to Magic where you get somebody who's new to the game getting into your space, and you look at stuff and you evaluate it like, this won't really see play because it's so specific. It's so narrow. It's not something that that's doing anything new. Maybe it's outclassed already by another card from like Modern Horizons. Maybe it's, you know, they just wanted a similar effect in Standard, but it couldn't be so pushed or something. And you get your friend who's just starting to play Magic and looking at these cards and going, that looks sick. Or, you know, I bet this is really strong. And there's a newfound excitement in that. There's like a, you know, what are the Eldrazi? Oh God, I can't wait to fill you in. You know what I mean? What are Slivers? Wait until you hear about the worst creature type you'll ever learn about. You know, the idea of seeing these special treatments on these cards and seeing how they hit you and your friend differently, just because you get this new perspective, this new wide-eyed wonder about it. And it's so sick. It's so fun. Magic is a game that we all love for a good reason. There's a lot of love and work that goes into it. There's a lot of art that gets made by people. The design of it all, it's just, it's out there. It's put out there for you. You're the person, the consumer as it is. But frankly, like, Magic has given me so much more than just a game. Like, it's given me a community. It's given me this podcast. It's given me another job. You know, it's given me a reason to fly to different places I've always wanted to go to. It's given me friends that I'll, you know, have forever. You know what I mean? People that I value in my life, because just because we decided like this little card game is where it's at. You know, I rambled a lot. Ken, feel free to cut away, you know, trim it down, do whatever you got, but leave this part in about my buddy Ashley, who's just getting into Magic and having fun with it, and how much Magic is awesome. I just want to say out there, if you're listening to this, I really can't express this enough. I appreciate you listening. I love that you listen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sending in your stories to amithebolus@gmail.com for the column, sending them in for the podcast, sharing your stories, listening to me, reading my column. It means a lot to me. It feels like, you know, I'm not just, I'm not out here shouting into Sothera the Super Void. You know what I mean? Shout out to a new card that I never want to play against. Hopefully, we have some plans coming up where we might shorten the name of the podcast to just The Bowlcast, because that's all we call it anyway, and it's hard to have a question mark in the name of your thing when it comes up in the middle of a sentence. It looks very silly and dumb, but otherwise, The Bowlcast is where it's at. Hoping to do a little something with a Discord community where we can all just hang out in there and talk Magic and play some games. And I'll set aside some time to play with everybody. But you got to be cool with the guy who plays an engine deck that sometimes has to take 5-7 minute turns to math things out before not winning. So I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope you play Magic. I hope You also take advantage of the sunny days outside. I hope you're safe. I hope you're happy. I hope you're fed. I hope you're well. Thank you for being here with me, for this time that you're spending with me in your ears. And we'll be back next week with another mailbag. And thank you to whoever emailed in about Solani, because we're going to bring him back to have his own episode. He's going to be a guest with us. We're going to do a whole episode with him. And then we're going to do a mailbag with Michael Solani and see how that goes. Maybe we'll that's how we're going to be doing things from now on. We're trying some stuff out. It's weird to be like, yeah, 2 years into this thing, or let's try some stuff out. Let's try some stuff out. Okay, time to scoot the day. Podcast theme song. A boop boop. Boom.